All right, so the Democratic Alliance has given President Cyril Ramaphosa a score of 6 out of 10. So this is 60%. It would be 60 out of 100 as the President of the Republic. DA leader Musi Maimane has described President Ramaphosa's first 100 days in office as a hype with no action. Maimane was President needs to show South Africans that he is serious about fighting corruption. What do you think? Do you think this is a fair score for President Cyril Ramaphosa, 6 out of 10 by the DA's standard? Is the DA qualified perhaps to even rate the president? And, you know, just given what is happening internally in the DA right now, shouldn't they be focusing on that? But, of course, they are opposition. That's why they are there. They need to keep our government in check. So it's their job, it's their responsibility to make sure that they do this. All right, so let's take a listen to Maimane and John Steenhuisen talking about or scoring the president 6 out of 10.
The view that says Mr. Ramaphosa is suddenly angelic and has flown from somewhere is a miss. Because he was the deputy president in Zuma's administration for the last number of years. And so he must also account for some of the actions that have taken place. And I welcome. I want for people to come and invest in our country. We must grow our economy. But what we certainly mustn't do is use the contrast of Cyril and Ramaphosa. I think anybody would feel optimistic in that basis and assume that it solves all our problems. Let's recognize that we don't just have a leadership problem in the presidency. We have an ANC problem. Support the move to remove the current public protector, Busisiwe Mkhwebane. Ensure that justice is served in the ongoing trial of Jacob Zuma. But instead, Cyril Ramaphosa has already sponsored Jacob Zuma's legal fees and now opposes our application in court to say that the state can continue to bankroll Jacob Zuma in his course to delay his day in court.
Despite chairing the Interministerial Committee for State-Owned Entities whilst Deputy President, Mr. Ramaphosa has failed to ensure that the committee carried out its mandate of overseeing the stabilization and reform of state-owned entities while he was in that position. For the 2017-18 financial year, state-owned enterprises hold 466 billion rand in government guarantees. Yet these state-owned entities continue to make massive losses. Overall, public entities lost 53.7 billion rand in fiscus 16-17.
That's John Steenhuisen there, and earlier on you heard Musi Maimane, the leader of the Democratic Alliance. So in your view, do you think that the score is reflective of really what is going on in the country and the leadership of Cyril Ramaphosa? Sanusha Naidu is a senior research associate based with the Institute of Global Dialogue. Sanusha, always a pleasure talking to you. Good morning.
Good morning, Bongi. Thanks for having me on.
All right. So let's start with your views on 100 days of the president in office.
You know, it's been a mixed bag in terms of the kinds of issues that have emerged. I think when he first came in, we saw a president that actually sought to do things. Came out almost all guns blazing. We saw the Associate Force Future Unit doing its job. We saw arrests taking place with regard to questions around fraud, corruption. So he kind of just, you know, came out of his blocks running. But I think in time we've seen also the constraints that he faces, particularly around issues regarding the sensitivities in terms of questions around how to deal with state capture, questions around the whole lessons and issues around what happened 10 days ago with regard to the land reform and the land expropriation conference and summit. And all of these things come together and say, well, he's come out trying to create the confidence, the trust and a renewal of South Africa's footprint, both in terms of its domestic footprint and its global footprint, but at the same time there are constraints that definitely will be difficult to overcome in just a few months. So I think his 100 days in office has been a mixed bag, and I think to some extent there's been the issues of structural conditions that actually don't enable him to do what he wants to do, bearing in mind that he also has to deal with the fact that it is a very finely balanced ANC in terms of the NEC and so forth, where he can't move forward. So you're looking at the implosion in Northwest, you're looking at other provinces, he's going to KZN talking about the political assassinations, and there are other issues that also underpin his presidency, both in terms of the state, the republic, as well as the party.
So, okay, let's look at the constraints that you're talking about. Mainly, where are they coming from? Are they party constraints? You're talking about the structural setup of the party that inherited, or are they state constraints? I mean, it would appear that state-wise, he's done pretty okay, but party-wise, he's had these challenges, massive challenges, I might add.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think there's also a dilemma we face in South Africa where we're not sure where the state ends and the party starts, or where the party ends and the state starts. Mm-hmm. And I think it's that blurring of the lines between keeping both spaces independent of each other which actually complicates the matters in terms of the constraints. So you're right, in terms of trying to build a new dawn in terms of his positioning and talking about a renewal of South Africa, a reestablishing of its credibility, its PR brand and so forth. I think, yes, he's done that significantly. But I think that in terms of how the party leads into the state, and that is where the complications lie in. So if you take, for example, what is supposed to be effectiveness and dealing with the issues in Northwest, you see that having important spillover effects in terms of governance at the provincial level. But it stems from the party and how that actually plays itself out. So I think here we're dealing with the complications and the blurring of the lines in terms of whether we see one as an extension of the other or we should see it as separate.
Yeah, and some people look at what he's done for South Africa and brand South Africa as well globally. I mean, if you look at the Commonwealth heads of state meeting there in London, you look at investment envoys as well, led by the likes of former finance minister Trevor Manuel and many others there. Appointment of economic advisor at 40, and just believing in young women in South Africa who are really doing massive things. Some people look at that and say something is happening. I mean, he's been to Angola and in Africa as well, he's making some serious strides. And people will say, it's happening. But when they look internally, they will say, how does he maneuver then to be able to be free of all the shackles that are slowing him down?
It's a difficult position to find yourself in because he's inherited a really, really complicated situation, trying to restore, as you say, you know, both the confidence in South Africa at the domestic level and restore public trust in the government as well as in the context of governance, and at the same time restore credibility, branding, et cetera, in the context of Africa, and more importantly, in the context of global economics and foreign direct investment. So he's kind of put people into particular positions and significant positions which he feels would actually do that job for him. So he's trying to manage it from my perspective. He's trying to manage it as if he's sitting in a boardroom and saying, well, what do we need to do to pull this back? But the challenge in all of this is that it's not just happening in the first 6 months or in the next couple of months or in the next 12 months until the next election. It has to be a continuity. And if we see that continuity does not continue to go forward, then we're going to go back to upsets and of course setbacks in this. So I think for him, the challenge is dealing with the domestic, but also trying to ensure that there's a continuity, and this continuity has to come from this relationship between state and party.
0891 104 207, that's the number to call if you want to weigh in on this. The DA has given the president 6 out of 10, of course, reviewing 100 days in office. Do you think this is a fair score, or do you think he could have, should have, must have scored less than that, or even higher than that? 0891 104 207. Sanusha Naidu is my guest. She's senior research associate at the Institute of Global Dialogue. Your views on the DA, Sanusha, just rating him 6. I'm asking the question. They have their own issues. Probably somebody, if somebody was paying attention to them, they would have rated them, I don't know where. But do you think they have the capacity to rate, and that their rating is believable?
I think people would probably, I mean, I think that, you know, being the opposition, they can do this. This is my view, that as opposition, despite their own internal contradictions and grapplings and tensions and dealing with their own governance challenges, as the opposition, they can come out and they can do this. And they've been doing this consistently in terms of, in terms of their position as the official opposition. But at the same time, I think that as the opposition, they would never be satisfied with anything. In a sense that they'll constantly find the loopholes and the so-called inadequacies of the ruling party, and they will continue to remain that kind of voice in terms of their critical perspective about the president and his 100 days in office, the party, and so forth. So I think in that respect, they're not doing something completely out of the ordinary in terms of the role of an opposition. But what makes it interesting is, for me personally, is that this is the first time, if I stand corrected on this, that we've heard Musi Mayamani talk about something very critical, etc., but not talk about what's going on internally in the party. So that kind of divisiveness and that kind of distinction between trying to keep what's going on in the party really internal to themselves, but then of course going out and saying this is how we rate the president, there's questions around his governance style, his style, questions about the public protector, questions about the investment credibility and so forth. I think to some extent, again, people may accuse them of contradictions and irony. That they may say that, well, what about what's going on in your own party? Mm. Have you not looked at that? And it's easy to be on the opposition side. And I think this is where the DA is beginning to find some of the difficulties emerge. Because in the Western Cape, they are the ruling party. In Nelson Mandela Bay, they are in a coalition. In Gauteng, in Johannesburg, they're also having some tensions emerge there with regard to their mayor. And of course, this is where the DA will have to confront these tensions as a ruling party. So right now, whilst they're not there in terms of the national level, at the provincial and local government level, they are experiencing the same kind of heat that they are articulating against the president.
All right, let me read just two tweets here. This one from James in Nelspruit, who says his biggest problem is that he is the leader of a wrong party, says James. But Madada says he is slow as a tortoise, and he was there at the top echelons of the government. I guess the issues like VAT, for instance, VAT increase, those are challenges that he had to navigate. Perhaps he found these issues there when he took over as president, because the first thing that happened was the increase of VAT under his presidency. The issues of Arthur Fraser, for instance, those are some of the issues. Tom Moyane at SARS, those are just some of the issues that will kind of like create a situation for him, and he has to navigate them quite carefully. I mean, you look at Tom Moyane, he wants him in the dock, he wants to be with him in court, and he wants to confront him in court. That might be a bit of an embarrassment for government, but hey, Nelson Mandela did it with Saru, former president there.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. You know, the thing here is that he inherited a mess. Let's put it that way and be blunt as possible. He took over what is essentially a mess in the state, in the body politic of the country. And, of course, he's trying to reverse and address these different challenges in terms of whether it's around the SARS commissioner and that litigation issue. It's a question of increasing the budget of the state because of the fact that there's questions around how much of expenditure takes place at the public sector level, the VAT increase, the so-called fuel levy increase, and we're going to probably see more increases as the rand continues to decline and weaken against the dollar in terms of yesterday's trading. So I think invariably, you know, people, when they look at this, they don't really think about, you know, the structural issues and all of this. They look at this and they say, well, the president is doing this, or the president is responsible. And that's the kind of responsibility you take on when you want to become state president or prime minister or whatever. So I think, in a sense, this is the challenge in terms of understanding where this money is going to come from in order to deal with the budget deficit. But people on the street don't, you know, they feel it in their pockets. And I think that's the important point that we need to look at, is how much of what the transactional costs that take place at the state is felt in the pockets and the livelihoods of people on the ground, because they are the ones that are at the coalface of these decisions that are taken at the higher level.
Christo, you are in Matatiel. Hi. Hi, Christo. Okay. Christo in Matatiel has dropped. We've got a couple of more calls here. Just wanting to weigh in on this particular discussion. I mean, how do you rate President Cyril Ramaphosa? It's been 100 days in office. Do you think he's doing a great job for the country and also for the party as well? 0891 104207.